7 o'clock. Call this meeting to order, please. Everyone please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Pope. Bellissimo. Pat.
Here.
Leschewski.
Here.
Frieders.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Terumas.
Here.
Teeling.
Here.
A quorum is established.
Do we have any amendments to tonight's agenda? We have two presentations, a couple of commendations for a couple of officers for some outstanding work. And Rich, do you want to come forward? And Sergeant Michalasek, come on forward.
All right, we have a commendation for Sergeant Michalasek for his work on the evidence room. It starts off, I wish to commend you on your actions over the last 3 years. During that time period, you took on the task of creating a new in-house monthly training program, and you also created a centralized storage of all training documentation. Your in-house training and monthly policy training has been a success and has been a model for other agencies to follow. You spent numerous hours creating a centralized training database that included finding the proper program and manually entering the training records of all officers for the last 20 plus years. Continuous training is the best way to ensure that our officers are provided with the most professional policing possible. Your dedication to training is truly an example of the great service that you provide to the community and the Yorkville Police Department.
And Detective Hunter, if you would like to come up.
All right, Detective Hunter is getting a commendation for his work in the evidence room. I wish to commend you on your actions between September of 2015 and February 2016. You took on an overwhelming task, and in doing so, ensured that the property room will operate at low capacity for quite some time. Most important, you ensured that the Yorkville Police Department property room will operate with the utmost integrity and accountability going forward. Your actions are truly an example of the great service that you provide to this community and the Yorkville Police Department. Now, the evidence room in the police department is one of the key functions of our police department. If that thing is messed up, we're in big trouble. So he kind of took this on his own and ran with it, and it was quite an accomplishment. Thank you.
Okay, no public hearing. Do we have any citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening?
As the body camera purchases on.
Can you please state your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. Todd Milliron. You want my address or is your
no,
okay.
Name is fine.
All right. Yeah, many of you haven't seen me for a while, but I'm back. Just for this one. The body camera purchase is on the mayor's report, and I would encourage the council to pass that. I'm sure there's already been discussion about that, and it's probably already a foregone conclusion, but I want to say, again, Yorkville's out in front of a lot of the other municipalities in the area and our county government on taking the initiative to provide body cameras to the officers that enforce the laws within this municipality. I think that's a good thing. So kudos to you guys. I have something else I'd like to talk about, but it's not on the agenda. I really don't want to stay to the end of the meeting. Would you allow it?
If you're quick, Todd, I don't see.
Yeah, I will be.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. This was a letter to the editor that was published last week in the Kendall County Record. I don't know how many of you have seen it. But I wanted to share it with you all. Let me make sure I got enough for you.
There's an extra one over here,
Dad. All right. Please hand that to the clerk.
Thanks, Dad.
Clerk got one or no? This is a letter to the editor that was published last week. When I printed it out, I didn't print the author's name, but the lady's name is Leah Philpott. She lives over in Oswego. I thought it was an interesting letter. It pertains to your old chief of police, Harold Martin, who retired roughly, I guess, about 5 years ago. Currently, he's drawing a salary in the city of Yorkville, or not a salary, a pension to the city of Yorkville. This may not have been updated for the annual increases that happen each year, but it was reported at $111,328. Plus, he draws a county salary as our under sheriff for $108,000. And this letter's in reference to encouraging you guys to pass a city resolution in support of House Bill 1320, which is a legislation that would prevent this from happening in the future. The pensions is one of the biggest drivers of our state problem. It's also something that you guys have to fund as a city, and it's a pretty big line item, I think, in the budget too. Anyway, if Mr. Martin wasn't drawing a city pension, it would increase the percentage that your funding percentage. You guys aren't funded at 100% yet, but you know, if that was not happening, it would help that percentage, and would at some point in time would be very actuarially desirable to increase that. So at some point in time, maybe the citizens of Yorkville do not have to contribute as much towards the pension fund. It did say in the letter that Mr. Martin does take his health insurance benefits not from the county, so I'm assuming that either he's taking them individually, or it's something he's paying himself, or it may be something your retirement plan provides for retirees. I'm not aware or sure of that, but that might be something that needs to be looked into. I do know that he takes his dental insurance at the county. So anyway, we had a situation like this at the county not that long ago, where Mr. Davidson was retired, and the pension that he was drawing from was not a municipal or IMRF pension, but he was employed and doing a similar job that he was performing and drawing his pension at the same time, and that private pension fund said that was not right, and there was provisions within that contract not to allow that to happen, and Mr. Davidson ended up having to pay back a substantial amount of money to that pension fund for benefits he wasn't entitled to because he was gainfully employed. So I'm going to leave the copy of this HB 320 with the clerk. The other thing I'd like to bring attention to is John Anthony, my rep for the 75th District, and he's not going to be y'all's reps, but he's mine, is going to have a property tax understanding and appealing your property tax assessment forum Thursday, April 28th at the Kendall Township Building, Walker, and Route 47. It'll be at 10 a.m. on Thursday, so 2 days from now. There'll be a question and answer session after that. And there's several initiatives that he's sponsoring. There's four of them I really like. HB 6234 provides that the senior citizen assessment treats homestead exemption would also apply to persons with disabilities. HB 6235 decreases the age limit to qualify for the senior citizen assessment freeze homestead exemption from 65 to age 55 years of age. 6236 increases the maximum reduction in the senior citizen's homestead exemption from $5,000 to $7,000 for taxable year 2016 and indexes the reductions to the consumer price index. And then there was one more, provides that counties with less than 3 million inhabitants, that would be us, or persons been granted a senior citizen's homestead exemption, that person needs not to apply for that exemption again. So anyway, those are some things I wanted to bring to y'all's attention. And thank you for allowing me to speak. And I'll share this with the clerk. And if anybody wants copies of this, they can get this information from the clerk.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody else, comment? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Tarullis?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Cott?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular city council meeting of March 22nd, 2016, as presented. So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions on the minutes? Corrections?
Who seconded, please?
Okay. Any other minutes? All those in favor of approving as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, next we'll go to Mayor's Report. First item is a proclamation for Poppy Days. I know we have some ladies here from the Legion Auxiliary. Amelia, you'd like to come forward? And I will. Would you like me to stick me with a poppy before I make a proclamation? Come on up, Doris. Thank you. Okay, what I have here is, whereas America is the land of freedom, preserved and protected willingly and freely by citizen soldiers, whereas millions who have answered the call to arms have died on the field of battle, whereas a nation of peace must be reminded of the price of war and the debt owed to those who have died in the war, whereas the red poppy has been designated as a symbol of sacrifice of lives in all of the world, whereas the American Legion Post 489 and American Legion Auxiliary Unit 489 have pledged to remind America annually of this debt through the distribution of the memorial flower, so that May 20th and May 21st, 2016 may serve as Poppy Awareness Days. Therefore, I, Gary J. Glinski, Mayor of the United City of Yorkville, do hereby proclaim Poppy Awareness Days in the United City of Yorkville and request all citizens to observe these days by wearing a poppy and making contributions for this worthy cause. Dated this 26th day of April, 2016. So thank you very much. We have a copy for you. I know our Boy Scouts before you will be helping out.
Yep.
On Poppy Days.
And if anybody else wants to volunteer, just give us a call.
Absolutely. I assume people are reaching out to Legion on the morning of May 20th or?
We have 2-hour shifts planned.
Okay.
And so they'll be getting their jugs and get their assignments of where they're
so
supposed
they
to go.
So they would just stop by the Legion if they're interested?
You have to stop by. There's a sign up sheet at the Legion.
Okay.
Otherwise, Carol and I are the co-chairs. You can call either one of us and we'll get you on the list to volunteer.
Wonderful.
And if any of your businesses would like a donation can for your business, let me know because we'll be running around here pretty soon and getting those passed out.
All right.
Okay.
I'm sure you leave one at City Hall.
Okay, we will do that.
Yep.
I hadn't thought of that. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a proclamation for Rain Barrel Month. Is anyone here for Rain Barrel Month? Or rather, Rain one, if anyone would like to read it, it's in the packet. So this is Rain Barrel Month, the month of May, I believe, is also Rain Barrel Month. Okay, next I'll entertain a motion. To authorize the purchase of body cameras for the police department after May 1st, 2016 from Battery Jack Inc. in an amount not to exceed $49,998 and waiving the requirement of competitive bidding.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions on this? Yes, sir.
After speaking to the chief, I believe I wish to table this. He had some issue with it and he would get some questions answered, so I would take it.
Well, I heard we could table it. I agree with probably the table it, but let's see if there's any questions first, if you don't mind. Yes.
I got a few. On the page from Deputy Chief Hill, the statement says that we wouldn't have to purchase any additional servers or space on our current server, and I don't see in their note about anything having to do with the server. I know that the letter says that, but I don't see it in the actual sales order. So that's highly concerning to me with the numbers they were breaking down. So 8-hour shifts, 30 officers. We're talking like 2 terabytes before the end of the year that has to be accessible and stored on site or at least in the cloud, but 2 terabytes is a lot of freaking information.
Right. There's actually 2 servers that we're purchasing from the company as part of it.
Okay.
And the policy we're looking at that the Illinois Chiefs Association is recommending is that they're only turned on when there's activity going on.
Okay.
You know, when you're in your car driving around, they're not on. If you're in eating lunch, you're not going on. If you get a call for service when you step out of the car, it goes on. You know, so there, it would be a, like, it's going to be extreme amount of information. And I know the policy talks about maintaining non-essential stuff for at least 90 days.
Right.
And 2 years on things that are involved, things like that, or could be inevitable, you know, could be stored for longer than that.
Right.
But on stuff that would be stored in that way, we would probably store that in our main servers.
Okay.
You know, as we where we store our evidence for video cameras and things like that.
Well, I guess then I have a question, since there is really no guidance. I know there's the Illinois Chiefs Association, but there's really no guidance as far as the state, as far as how the officer themselves is supposed to basically interact with the system. So it's if there is, you know, they pull somebody over, starts the second they get out of the car. Well, what if they get back in the car and don't turn the thing off, and then we have a half hour of them just filling out reports? Because I know that 80% of a cop's life is doing this. But then, is that cop in charge of, is he now our Mr. Video Editor? That's what I'm concerned with, because what if he goes too far?
They can't alter or erase anything. Or
so is that a new position within the police department that we have to hire out?
That's a good question. That was one of my concerns that was brought to our attention, that between the FOIAs, you know, this is going to be an immense amount of time involved.
Yeah.
With FOIA requests and things like that we're not used to taking.
Right.
This whole field is new in our business, and especially in Illinois. Illinois is behind the curve on body cameras, and I had just attended the Illinois Chief Conference last week, and that was brought to my attention is one of the departments south of us had a pilot program, and they actually just canceled it because they weren't aware of the amount of time it was going to cost That's one of the doubts, you know, that I had. You know, this a lot of the last minute was, you know, are you 100% sure on this? And I'm like, I have doubt on personnel being able to process the data or whatever it was.
Right.
This was a very hasty request to get this in so fast, because we did get offered some pretty good benefits from the distributor to make this happen a little quicker.
Yeah.
I just think now, after talking to several people, that it might be better to look into this.
All right, well, I have a couple more questions. Hold on real quick. So they also mentioned about having a warranty on the lifetime, or a lifetime warranty. Is it the company or the equipment's lifetime?
The equipment's warranty for 2 years, but the company will give us support for lifetime.
Okay, so that makes sense.
It is a local-based company, too.
They
see, it's real interesting. This has been probably a 6-month process of having companies that come out and do demos, have our officers look at them. You know, we had everybody involved, these cameras, look at them and try them out. And a lot of them are complicated, some of them are really simple. And when it came down to this is the one that everybody said, this is made for police work. Right. Somebody who was a police officer designed and implemented the system. It's what we call, if police officers are using it under stress, and at times it's got to be what we call stupid simple.
Yeah.
And this really fit all that criteria, the way they store them, the way they're charged, the way they download. it made the most sense to all of us.
Well, we have the kind of like the package deal on this when you buy 30 at a time.
Yep.
I need to know, or I would like to know, what the individual cost is. Say, you know, I know Ray personally. He could easily break a couple in a month. So what do they cost individually to purchase? Not in a bulk sense.
The smallest cost is the actual camera itself.
Okay.
Most 90% of the cost, I guess, unless, a big chunk of the cost is the servers,
right,
and those type of issues. But the actual cameras, I would have to look at it again. My package, not downloading on my computer.
I believe the cameras were $425 each,
right,
and there were 32 of them. So the vast majority of the $49,000 was the 2 servers.
Right.
The cameras were $425.
$325.
Oh, $325
each. So. And we did order extra ones in that way. You know, they're going to be individually assigned each person. And if they do get broken or lost, which does happen, the police officer gets in foot pursuit, it falls off, and we never find it again. We do have an unload, we can turn around and issue them so that we're not shorting it.
Right. And then the 16 bay docking station, that's the server?
Yes.
Okay. Because, again, because we had the discussion about if we're going to be streaming our city council meetings. And I made the suggestion, well, Facebook Live is free. Just hit the freaking record button. And I brought it to an admin meeting, and we did a live admin council, and everybody loved it. It's so fascinating. But the question was, is after you, it's who films it and who owns it. If the city owns it and films it, they have to basically provide for its viewability into perpetuity, which puts the ownership of that video on us. Now, if me as a person, I record the video, it's wherever it's stored and it can be deleted at any time. The thing that worries me about this is that we're not just talking about 2 terabytes of data. We're talking about 2 terabytes of data every other month with which we have to hold on to. And knowing with the redundancy rates of servers, you don't just have it on one, you have it on 3 to 4, which means that everything that we have a copy of, we're not just paying for one copy, we're paying for 6. And 2 terabytes is a boatload of information, but that's every other month. And that gets me thinking, okay, well, this is video content, which the majority of the time is unedited, which means that 95 to 99% of the stuff will never even touch. It'll just be sitting there. The only thing that we're doing is we're spending 50 grand for the ability to store 2 terabytes of information every other month for 30 officers into perpetuity. Now, I was the one that was like, dude, find a grant, let's get these things in here, because I understand the need for accountability on the police officers' side and also protection of the citizens. But when you have that much information, like I carry around a backup drive of 2 terabytes and it was like $200. Well, I've broken one before. That's 2 terabytes gone. So at my pharmacy, I have 6 copies of everything, which I believe is overkill. But you're the end-all be-all. So that's why I'm thinking, okay, we're going to have 2 terabytes every other month forever. And that's going to be a large server room eventually.
Well, what will happen is after 90 days, by policy, they'll automatically erase everything that's not flagged.
Okay.
If it's not flagged as something we want to hold on to, or if it's not stored in evidence, it's automatically erased.
Okay.
It just starts itself, you know. And that's the way a lot of, you know, KenCon does that with the dispatch records, you know, that after 90 days, those phone calls and stuff, they're just erased.
Just erased. Okay.
Unless it's flagged. And that's what the officers, you know, part of the policy states, that if there's something of evidentiary value, there's an arrest made, there's a complaint about the call, then those items get flagged. And if it is like a, you know, an arrest of some type, then they also make a hard copy of the video too, and that goes into our evidence for the report. So it's double backed up.
So would there ever be a case where it's only as a physical evidence, not necessarily as on this server and that server?
It would not transfer between the servers unless it's flagged for evidence. And so if it's flagged evidentiary, it'll go into our regular system where all of our in-car video evidence is stored.
Right.
If we have pictures from a crime scene, those are stored in there, go into, you know, evidence storage.
Okay.
You know, and usually there's a hard copy made of that too that also goes into our evidence room. So it's a double backup at the computer system, you know, like a hard copy or, you know, audio recording as well.
Right. So, like, I'll just be clear, I fully support the use and the acquisition of these cameras. It's the intangibles that I'm having a really hard time with. How are we going to store this in the perpetuity?
With every technology that we have, car video cameras, there's nothing 100%, they malfunction all the time.
Right.
In Murphy's Law, they seem to malfunction when you need them the most.
Right.
You know, they're in the coldest parts of the winter, the hottest parts of the summer, they're out in blizzards and rainstorms. If officers go into the river after somebody or to save somebody, they're going to get wet. You know.
Now, would this data be stored similarly to how you store the dash cams?
No.
No?
Dash cams right now go directly onto our servers, our main servers in the city. And these would be their own freestanding servers.
Okay. Now, do those ever get purged, the dash cams?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's a lot more difficult because they don't automatically purge after 90 days. But it a lot of times it stores them. But it's a little bit separate, but it's a little more manual on the current system we have video cameras.
Now, is that a job that's performed by a police officer, or do you have a representative of that company that comes in?
It's both. Some is done by IT work when we have problems with the servers. Most of this done with the problems, yeah.
Okay.
They're the ones that usually are pulling the evidence, storing the evidence. The officers are involved somewhat too. They do burn their own copies. And this system with the body cams will allow them to burn their own copies too. What will usually happen if they know it's evidentiary, they just burn it. They burn the copy right there in the squad room, and they're doing the report and attach it right to the report.
Okay. Yeah, today I had the opportunity to talk to someone from the Winfield Police Department, and they asked them if they had this, and they said they did. And so I was kind of curious. I thought more in that direction, it would be more common. And this person said when they looked at them, the ultimate decision came down to they weren't willing to put away one person of manpower. He said it would take 40 hours for the whole year. You have to dedicate a whole person to that. They don't want to do that.
I think they're larger than we are. But that's a concern that was brought to my attention too. That talking about this, you know, am I 100% behind the program? I am. But am I 100% that we can actually do the program right now? Maybe a little less until I can get a handle on the amount of time it's going to take to actually physically process FOIAs and do it. You know, we say it was kind of a hasty request to buy the company. Hey, we can get these to you cheaper right now to do this. Yeah, we went ahead and did it, but now I think it's just a little bit of reservation on that point.
So this company that we've been contracting with, they don't do that part of it, right? The part of the where it takes a person 40 hours a week?
No. That would just be like all FOIAs that the city gets and the police department, you know, obtains. We have to process them ourselves. And the biggest problem with FOIAs when it comes to dash cams is we have to blot out all the faces of non-affected people. Like if a car drives by and there's a license plate on it, we have to black out the license plate. And then that's the biggest time. So whoever's processing these FOIA requests has got to look at it in real time, and then they've got to stop it. And, you know, the technology's good. I say, for instance, if Alderman Frieders pops up in the video, we black out his face, and then the technology, every time he pops up in the video, it'll black out from then on, so we don't have to stop every frame to do it. But, I mean, you can imagine how much data it might pick up if we're at a busy intersection, you know. And then we pick up lots of stuff that's got to be taken out. You know, a two-hour video could be 3 hours in process.
Anyone else?
Yes. Joel, just on your point about the data, page 110 on my PDF, there is a calculation and estimate of data that's on there.
Yeah.
And if you go through, it's at the end of 5 years, 4,000 gig. The system, if you pull it up and do a search on that type of system, the kiosk, it's a baseline of 8 terabyte up to 30 terabyte. So it's a very large system with a RAID 6 backup. So it does have.
But that's three times on one drive.
Right. And so it does have multiple layers of backup within that server capability.
Right.
So I've been trying to do some research. I've had conversations with Chief about this one to understand it. I know this is an ongoing issue to try to figure out a way to implement it. One of the questions I have on the proposal as I'm looking at this, we have from battery checking, the proposal is for 2 docking stations and 32 body-worn cameras for a total of $49,900 and change. For the manufacturer's website, which is the same as the distributor's one company, this system is listed as a MSRP of $25,495, which includes 16 cameras. It's the kiosk and cameras. Are we ordering 32 additional extra cameras? Because this one looks like it's a kiosk with cameras, but what we're ordering is kiosk and cameras.
No, I don't know if that's duplicity. I don't know if that's a mistype or a read, but yeah, that's not the way it's presented to us. That is, you're buying the kiosk separately and the camera separately.
I just want to make sure, because what I'm looking at on their website is a $25,000 package all in for 16. And we have all that, and that's on the 30 gig. I'm not sure what the total capacity is on our proposal. That's not listed. I just want to make sure that with the docking station, if that's $19,000 and we're paying for the cameras, I don't want to have a duplicity of the cameras. So if we could clarify that and, you know, clarify what the specification is on how much data can be stored on those servers, I'd like to see that.
Okay, any other questions? It's good to be on the forefront of this thing, but it sounds like we have a little more homework to do. So, Alderman Goldsmo, do you want to make that motion?
I would make a motion to table this to.
Back to Public Safety Committee.
Send it back to the committee, that's fine.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Cut.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, there's an MFT compliance review in your packet for calendar year 2015. That is informational, Bart. We don't need to take any action on it.
Correct.
Any questions on the MFT compliance review? Okay, no committee reports tonight. Going on to park board, I'll entertain a motion to approve an ordinance approving the Fifth Amendment police donation agreement between the city and Open Lanes and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Comments or questions on this one?
Choice.
Not really.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Terulis?
Aye.
Pelosimo?
Aye.
Valcazar?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch? Cut?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve an ordinance directing the sale of real property and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved. Second.
Comments or questions on this one? Roll call, please.
Pelosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Cut?
Aye.
Frieders?
Yay.
Terulis?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, moving on to planning commission. I'll entertain a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing the execution of the Second Amendment to the annexation agreement and plan development agreement on the Creek subdivision and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Cut?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Pelosimo?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Next, I'll entertain a motion to approve the ordinance reclassifying certain property on Fox Road between Pavilion Road and Ford Drive, formerly known as Silver Fox Development, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Comments or questions? Yes, sir.
Is there any concern about the amount of traffic that a farm lot might develop? I think we might be jumping the gun.
Any more questions?
I think we might be jumping the gun. That was my only question.
Just a comment, I'm happy to see it going back to
heaven. Yep.
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Teeling? Koch?
Aye.
Cut?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Pelosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve an ordinance amending the Yorkville zoning ordinance by amending the definition of trade schools and adding them as special uses in the M1 and M2 manufacturing districts and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved. Second.
Comments or questions on this one? Roll call, please.
Cut.
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Pelosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Nay.
Nay?
Nay.
Nay?
Milchewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I will entertain a motion to approve an ordinance amending ordinance 2015-42 that granted a special use for a public storage facility at 147 Commercial Drive and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Terulis?
Aye.
Pelosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Cut?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, no ZBA report, no city council reports, city clerk report. Have any community and regional reports? Staff report.
A few items, Your Honor. First, a couple of questions from aldermen and staff members just about water rates. We did keep the infrastructure fees the same as they were last year, but just as a reminder, the water rates were actually approved 3 years ago. They are scheduled to go up to $17 for a flat fee bimonthly and $4.30 for 100 cubic feet, which is like 742 gallons. So every unit, $4.30. Second, you'll see some promotional materials for our comp plan information meetings on May 5th in Wendat Ridge and May 12th in Crane Reserve. Those will be on social media and our website, talking about components of the comp plan before our next thing is brought to this body in the next couple months for a final vote. Both of those meetings will be at 7 p.m., and both of those meetings are held in the 7 p.m. closes. Third, we've got our Chicago Whitewater Association is going to be donating a couple trees to Riverfront Park on behalf of their current four members. That's going to be this Saturday at 11 a.m. down at Riverfront Park, in case anybody is interested in going. Fourth, we have Push for the Path, Cover Running. The 5K is May 7th in the morning. We've raised, I think, over $20,000 already for the Push for the Path initiative through men's efforts and staff's efforts. So it's really great to see. It's a standard 5K where if you still register now online, you save yourself a couple dollars. It'd be before you get there, actually, the price is a little bit higher. But we are also accepting donations, too, so that might be a good thing. Show up the day of. Last is as part of my professional certifications through the International City County Management Association, I have to go through a 360 evaluation every 5 years. So that 5 year period is actually up this year. So, good news is everybody gets to write interesting things about me. Both City Council members, peers, so Rich and Kathy would both fill this out, subordinates, and actually I'm going to send it to a couple members of the chamber board too, since I serve over there to kind of get different angles. So what's going to happen is everybody's going to fill out these surveys.
Will it be anonymous?
It will be anonymous, yes. I'll fill out one too. This consulting group will actually go and coordinate everybody's responses anonymously, and then give you a report as to what I think about certain strengths and weaknesses and different professional capabilities compared to everybody else's. So certain parts of that will be made public at some point or another, just to be fully transparent to everybody. But it is something that shows that we're, you know, trying to be progressive and forward thinking on professional development in the city. So I don't know that we've ever done one, so it'll be a first for the organization that I can remember. Thank you.
We all can't wait.
Okay, any additional business? Okay, hearing none, we will adjourn the executive session for litigation and personnel. There will be no action taken after executive session.